This is Let's Talk MS, the podcast of youth living with MS.
Let's Talk MS!
Welcome to Let's Talk MS, a podcast series created by Young Minds for Young Minds and proudly brought to you by the European Multiple Sclerosis Platform. We are
Elizabeth
and Anna, and we will be your hosts for today.
In this podcast series, we are about to unpack the intricacies of living life as a young adult while navigating the challenges that come with multiple sclerosis, MS, and related conditions such as NMOSD and MOGAD. From dating to nutrition or dealing with the MS stigma, we are here to navigate it all through expert insight and personal stories.
Today, if I'm honest, we are talking about one of my favorite topics, and it's the power of sports in MS and related conditions. But first, let me introduce our guest for today. Felipe Ballesteri, Brazilian and diagnosed with MS 10 years ago. MS was a life-changing event in his career, and he's currently doing his PhD in MS rehabilitation at the University of Hasselt in Belgium.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here, and I hope we will have a good time talking about sports and MS today.
Thank you, Felipe. And of course, we will have this good time. And we will also have Eline Sophie, a qualified nurse and a digital marketing student. She was diagnosed with MS at the age of 23, and now she's sharing her MS journey through TikTok. So welcome, Eline Sophie.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and to be able to share my story and experience with sports.
Great. We are really looking forward to hearing both of you. So to kick off this conversation, last September, some EMSP team members, we attended ECTRIMS, the European Committee for Treatment and Research in MS, and it was really fascinating to see how more and more research is focusing on the benefits of staying active. I love how this has become such a hot topic recently, not only in the scientific community, but also among people living with MS and related conditions. Living with these conditions means facing many physical challenges, and that's why today we want to explore how physical activity can really make a difference. Let's dive into the science, the personal experiences, and some practical tips on how to keep moving no matter where you are in your MS journey. We will also be talking about the MS Awareness Run, which we are organizing in the framework of the 20th edition of the Brussels Airport Marathon and Half Marathon, taking place on the 2nd of November, a great opportunity to come together, raise awareness, run, and celebrate the strength and resilience of the MS community.
Thank you for this introduction on the topic, Anna. I'd like to kickstart really the questions and ask Felipe, from your experience and because you are actually working in that field, can you explain to us a little bit more about what are the benefits that sports or regular movement can bring to the people living with MS or related similar conditions that can physically, mentally, emotionally also help them to improve or to be better?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are seeing not only in the MS field, but in other fields that the exercise can not only provide like physical benefits, but also like it's a kind of protection for the brain. Although there is no longitudinal study at the moment that can really confirm how the exercise or movement can kind of slow down the progression of the disease, there are some very nice models showing that, like, for example, those people that were active before the diagnosis and they still keep active after the diagnosis, they have a much better prognosis in a sense of being more independently through the life, while like not being active or not doing a lot of movement, normally it will also worse a bit to the prognosis. So the evidence that we have at the moment is that exercise is very important, not only physically, but for the brain. And emotionally, we know that exercise can reduce like depressive symptoms, anxiety, not only for the general population, but exclusively for MS. Also like reducing fatigue that we know it's a big, big problem for people living with MS. So I would say that movement and exercise, it's like essential for those with MS.
It really sounds like it helps to bring your mental strength and to build resilience facing challenges on the day to day, and having that kind of inner power that can be built through being physically active can really help the people to overcome some things. But in terms of very practical recommendations, or do you have any kind of sports or physical activities that are typically recommended for people with MS?
Normally, when I talk about exercising MS, I say that people living with MS can do whatever they want, right? As long as they have the capacity to do, I would say just do it. We say that like there are some researchers saying that exercise is medicine, so we have to do it. And we also have to keep in mind that, like, let's say we as patients, we can do everything basically. Yeah. So, and what I want to say with that, it's like there are some recommendations in the literature in a sense that, like, recommendations for those with mild disability, moderate disability, and high disability. But again, I would say if the person wants to do some sports and the person has the capacity to do, just do it. Of course, we have to keep in mind, like, some, for example, the increasedness of the heating, like the warming up of the body, that can cause some like transient symptoms, but that symptoms will disappear after some hours. So it's just for a brief time. So it's important to do whatever they want, and we have the capacity to. So I think that's the message here.
I like your message, like we have the capacity to, because I fear that in some cases, for example, it's not just the person affected by the conditions, but also the entourage that might be concerned, or like be not a barrier, but trying to say, like, is that good for you? Like, do you think that you can do it? And that can undermine a little bit the willingness and the own empowerment of the patients themselves. So what would be your advice for those people that, you know, do not let the people to take the decision for themselves, or are there like they are caring and maybe very loving when they're saying that, but it can be a little bit demotivating for those people, like, and they will start believing it, like, maybe it's not for me, maybe I'm not good enough, and it's gonna, I will be even more tired afterwards. Do you have anything that you would like to say to those people?
I understand the concern. It's totally understandable, actually. But I would say that, let's say that the benefits that the exercise can bring overcome all this, all the concerns. Let's say I also understand the fatigue. I have like a very, some days, very heavy mental fatigue. So I understand the feeling of. And I think for the exercise is that we are not going to see benefits like in 1 week. I think that's what we have to keep in mind. The benefits of exercise will be through the whole life. So we are going to see like small things that, like, maybe in 1, 2, 5, 10 years, we are going to see the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the word that you used before, the resiliency, is really important, because it's always like learning how your body behaves, how your body responds to the exercise, and then adapt accordingly. It's also important to have someone that knows about the MS and it knows how to make the exercise for you. But again, I think we have to look for the long term.
Yeah.
If we look just for the short term, probably we are not going to see any benefits, but just look for the long term.
Great, thank you for this.
I think that's a great message. And it's also important that sometimes we remind this message to ourselves, because at least I feel that sometimes I forget this message and I think, oh, I'm not feeling better and I'm doing many sports, but sports for the long term. Eileen, Sophie, turning to you. After your diagnosis, did your relationship with the sport change, or how was it? I think that you were already like a really sportive person, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I've been a previously gymnast and weightlifter for most of my life. So physical activity and, you know, doing exercise has been a huge part of my life, which also made the change to getting MS and ending up in a wheelchair, like, this huge contrast. But my relationship with sport hasn't changed at all, actually. It's become even more positive. To me now, like, exercising and doing physical activity has become more of a tool than ever, not only to build like the strength, but also to regulate my symptoms and to find balance in my daily life. Just like Felipe said, like, it's about the consistency to make me feel better. So yeah, definitely sports has been like a huge part of my life and regulating my body. Yeah.
And did sports also play a huge role in your rehabilitation process after your MS diagnosis?
Yeah, I was told so by the doctors. They said that I possibly had a better outcome because I was such a sporty person in pre-diagnosis. And, you know, starting my rehabilitation was a long process, because I had like paralysis from my chest and down, and I couldn't feel my legs at all. Lots of tingling. So I was at a rehabilitation stay for a month probably. And then I've had physiotherapy 3 times a week ever since. And also in the last few months, been running for the MS Awareness Marathon as well. So I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, it's been a long road, you know, a lot of frustration. We started with smaller steps at physiotherapy, and then trying to build like coordination, building strength, it's been hard, you know, when you start from the bottom and you do experience fatigue, it's a big step back, you know, getting the MS diagnosis by itself. So it's been a roller coaster, of course, but starting small and then building the resilience and the consistency and just keep going even when it's hard. That's been like a big moment for me as well. You know, I do have some days where I can't get out of bed, just like Philippe told. We have bad days. We know what fatigue really is. But for me, it's just like getting outside, even if it's a 30 minutes walk, or if it's like running or weightlifting, you know, doing what fits for you and listen to your body, get to know your body. You don't have to push yourself to be drained after, but push yourself. Because it will be rewarding. Your body will thank you. At least for me, it has been.
Totally. I completely agree with what everything you were saying. I feel it's really important to start small. So and be consistent, because sometimes we start and say, I will do this, that, and no. Say, okay, let's do one thing, but let's do this thing well. But with fatigue and sports, I don't know if it also happens to you, Philippe and Elin Sophie, but I also feel that sometimes I'm a bit fatigued, but there's a thin line between having to stay in the bed or in the sofa or being able to maybe not running 10 kilometers. And sometimes I feel it's difficult to balance like this mental fatigue, like I want to stay in the sofa eating whatever, like for me it's popcorn, but eating whatever. But I know that it's better if I go outside and I do some exercise. Do you also feel this situation sometimes, and how do you balance them?
For me, at least, I do feel that all the time. For me, it's about like regulating, as we mentioned. Some days it's absolutely gut-wrenching getting off the couch. All I want to do is sleep. I feel drained. But then I just regulate my exercises. And what I like to do is pre-diagnosis, I usually went to the gym 2 to 3 hours, you know, love the gym. I'll probably live there most of my days, but that doesn't work now. If I do 2 to 3 hours in the gym, that will just flare my fatigue, my symptoms. That's what I've learned for me. So what I do is I do shorter sessions, even if it's walking, if it's strength training, if it's running. Always listen to your body. It's not about like the distance or the speed. It's about moving my body and feeling my legs move. That's like the rewarding. But I do shorter sessions. That's what helps for me. So if I do strength training now, it's probably about 30 to 60 minutes, no longer. And in time, that has reduced my fatigue. I no longer experience big symptoms, no numbness, no tingling, and have gotten a lot of my strength back as well. I have probably little damage according to the doctors. All my tests are good and I'm fully functional again. So that's a miracle, but that's because of hard work and patience. Yeah.
That's great to hear that the improvement and how it's the physical exercise accompany you and has the benefit. And I know it, like, not to generalize everything, but there is a good positive impact on the body when you are doing exercise. We have to be very careful and mindful that not everyone is the same and has their own limitations, but it's important to remind those very positive messages.
Maybe we can add 2 points here. I think like the speech of Elin is perfect to understand your body and do what you feel you are able to not overpass your capacity. Although I'm a bit hypocrite to say, because I'm a bit harsh to understand my limits. So that's a bit my emotional side, but I'm working on at that point. But what I want to say is that, like, for example, I know if I leave to do my exercise after a full day of work, it will be much more harder than if I just wake up, I take my coffee and go to the gym. Actually, that it's what it works for me. Also for the running, I normally wake up, take my coffee, go for the run. Because like then I don't think, I just go. And the second point is, so basically like my PhD at the moment is about fatigability, not fatigue. And there are some differences on that point. So what we know at the moment is that, for example, if you feel fatigue, it's not that your performance is lower. And that's not that, like, for example, if you start to do the running and then you're planning to do 5 kilometers, that doesn't mean that you're like gonna have some, I don't know, foot drop or slow your running speeds over the 5K. So it's just like that, like, it's not because you're feeling mental fatigue or physical fatigue that you're gonna decrease your performance during your exercise. So just keep in mind that, like, I would just say just a feeling. I know that it's not just a feeling. Yeah. But it's like, it's the definition of the the fatigue in research. That's what I want to say.
Eileen, Sophia, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I would just like to add something that Felipe said, because I do agree. Like, one of the worst days I've ever had, I decided to go for a run, and I was like, I'll do 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers just to get outside moving. And most of my runs on my terrible days have been probably the best runs I've ever had. And that's when I actually reach new limits and do even longer runs. So it's amazing how I can twist it.
That's great. Yeah. Just talking about this, what do you think, what are the most common barrier in terms of people when it comes to exercising or participating in different sports or events? What do you feel would be the most common barriers, and how can they overcome those?
At least for me, like, one of the biggest barriers for me was like probably another type of fear of like for myself, you know, the fear of making my symptoms worse or not being able to keep up, or comparing myself to others, comparing myself to me before I got the diagnosis, you know, being an active weightlifter and gymnast. And what was helping me was actually just trying to change my mindset. You know, it doesn't have to mean that you have to run a whole marathon at the start, or lifting the heaviest weight, or like, you know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be that. It can be stretching, it can be walking with my friend, or doing a few exercises at home if I have a bad day. And for me, it's like, I did talk about this at the webinar as well. It's every small step, and every step counts, and it adds up. Every small win for me is still a win. And every day I get to still move and feel my body move. For me, it's such a blessing, especially when, you know, I've been in the wheelchair. I know how it feels. Yeah, I'm just so happy for that as well. And also, I'd just like to add as well, you know, when I got the diagnosis, all my friends and family told me to relax. If I tell my family that, yeah, I'm going to run tomorrow, or I'm going to the gym, you know, I'm a bit tired, but it's rewarding. They always tell you to relax. And for me, like, you know, getting out and doing these exercises is relaxing in some kind of way. I don't think that they actually understand that. I don't know how you feel about that, Felipe, but, you know, trying to tell your family that, you know, this is something that I have to regulate, and I have to listen to my body and what works for me. And I do understand their concerns, and, you know, they just want the best for me, but it's my body. It's how I feel. And I have to take accountability and responsibility for my body and how I want to feel.
I think it's really important what you said. And I think it also touched on a point that, like, at least I came from a country where people doesn't know about MS. So every time that I say I have MS, everyone is like, oh my God, you have MS. And, you know, like, they are very concerned. So actually they think that, like, and that's what was believed in the past, that exercise was contraindicated for people with MS because of this transient period of increasingness in the symptom. And they think that exercise will bring that back. So actually it's not what happened. But in terms of my family, I think, like, because I was very calm at my diagnosis, they were also calm. And actually the people that's asking me to do less is my neurologist, my psychologist. So people that are doing my healthcare, those are the ones saying, Felipe, you should do less, you should do less. And I'm always like, I don't want to do less. I think I want to do more, but I also have to listen to my body.
That's really nice, because you are kind of going into my next question. I was thinking on how can the healthcare professionals or the communities also help the people with MS or NMOSD get, you know, to feel more supported and safe when they're engaging in the sport, and not to drag them down. And of course, we, as I said, we understand the love and care, and they're mindful. They want to make sure the people that they are taking care of are feeling good. But what was expected from the healthcare professionals and from the communities to make the people more empowered to be exercising?
I think the first point is to increase awareness of MS. I think that's, I would say, the main point, actually, because we are in a context of Europe. But if you go to other countries, that reality is not the same. So like I said, in Brazil, people doesn't know about MS. Even the healthcare professionals, mostly of them, they never heard about MS. Or it's not that they never heard, but it's very little approach in the bachelor degrees, because MS is not that prevalent back there. So I think the first step is to increase awareness. And sometimes it's also a barrier in two sense. The first sense is because they don't know too much about the MS. And the secondly, sometimes the healthcare is not financially accessible for patients. So I think that's one of the, not the biggest barriers, but also included in the barriers that you ask for.
So certainly that we know that there are barriers to access care services, the therapists that we need, the physiotherapist and so on. So in terms of rehabilitation, there's a lot that we can work with to encourage more from the national governments to also invest more in these supports for the people. One maybe a comment, because I think there was in those discussions a lot of reference to our previous webinar. So we will make sure to put the link in the description of the podcast so that people have access to the full webinar and also listen to that bit.
I had one question, and it was about your experience in sports since you were diagnosed. Like, have you ever felt excluded from sports spaces because your MS diagnosis? I was thinking, for example, with you, Aline Sophie, when you were in a wheelchair. How was your experience in this aspect?
In which aspect? I didn't quite hear.
If you felt included in the sports center that you were going, or yeah.
And with my physiotherapy?
Yes.
Or? Yeah. You know, I want to applaud the Norwegian system. We do have a lot of MS in Norway. So it's quite known by the doctors and nurses. As a nurse myself, I actually didn't know much about it. But I do really want to applaud the Norwegian system because they've been taking so good care of me. And immediately after I got my diagnosis, I got the medicine 3 hours later. And I got to talk with a physiotherapist the same day to start my rehabilitation. And we also do have like paid treatments. So I've been going to physiotherapy for maybe 1.5 years now, and I don't pay for it. And they have like these weekly follow-ups, and they're so good, and they do what's best for me. And we do weekly, like we talk about what did work, what didn't work, how can we do it even better. Even the doctors, talking to my neurologist, he's like, keep moving. Exercise is probably one of the best things you can do. I have my own MS nurse that I can talk to anytime if I need to. And I feel like they are so encouraging of, you know, keep moving. You're going to live a normal life. That's what I expected of you.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. Actually, it's nice that you mentioned the role of MS nurses. I think it's always a good moment to thank them all the amazing work that they are doing. At least my person of reference in the MS, like my MS healthcare professionals, is the nurse. And actually the last day I went to the hospital, I was talking with him that sometimes I have fatigue, and he was like, Anna, we can talk about medication or whatever, but my advice, keep staying active. So it's nice to see how it doesn't matter where our experts or healthcare professionals are, but everyone is aligned with the same message.
I totally agree. Movement.
Because we're talking about inclusion, and then, you know, and that question about not to be fat rejected from the sportive environment is very important. But I have a general message also for our listeners, in a way, is that we as a community should be pushing also for more of this inclusiveness everywhere. And what I've noticed is also because it's accepted as such, and I know there is a lot of education and awareness that needs to be done, but that people with certain conditions are not going to look into physical activities and sports. And those centers, those gyms are not accessible, not just for us. So they are just not accessible physically for a person to go there and to be able to exercise. And that's not acceptable for us. And I think we need to keep pushing even at local level. And at the MSP, for example, we do a lot of venue checking for conferences and things like that. And one thing that we always check is accessibility everywhere in the hotel space. And we know is that for the gyms and the sports areas, it's not accessible because it's like automatically people think that, oh, people with disabilities, they're not going to do sports anyway. They're not going to go there, but it's important for them too. So accessibility in all sporting environment is important. And as a community, I would invite everyone to push for this. Just give a little remark, a little note, a little review that, you know, we should have access there. Why it is not there? So just to think about, because those are also, when we are talking about physical activities and so on, it's important. It's important the regularity, the consistency, but also to be included in those activities. So having said that, we are going to move on to empowerment and inclusion. But I think there is one question that I have maybe for Felipe first. How do you think we can adapt the sports program and inclusive spaces to make a difference for people with MS?
Yeah, it's very complex because I'm thinking like in terms of, again, because MS, it can have different phases, right?
Yeah.
So I think like in terms of empowerment, I think the first step is to listen to the patient. That would be my first guess. And my first thought is listen to the patient and what are their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I would say, like, because again, there will be some spaces, some countries that are like MS is not common disease and that people doesn't know what that means. I think we have to increase awareness to anyone, actually, that I think that those two points might like give some voice for people living with MS. Because also, like, I know some people that they don't like to say that they have MS, maybe because of what Anna said in terms of being excluded of some activities, not only physical or exercise, but like in general. So I think we just have to try to say that, like, look, MS, it's not an end point. Actually, it has life after diagnosis. But I think empowerment and awareness of MS, I think those are the two most important for exercise, I would say.
Yeah, great. Thank you for this. And you, maybe, Eileen Sophie, have you noticed any, or do you have any example of programs that you have been part of in the last year that you would recommend in Norway, for example, as a best practice?
We do have like a lot of groups and things that the doctors can recommend to you when you do get diagnosed. We have a lot of like groups where you can talk to people in your age with MS, which is quite nice. And we do have like the Norwegian multiple sclerosis forum as well, which do have like regions where they have activities where you can engage with people with both or the same diagnosis at least. So that's one thing that I really would recommend in Norway. If you're here, do reach out to the Norwegian multiple sclerosis platform or forum. Well, I don't know what it is in English, but you'll figure it out. But there's not too much about that, actually. There's not too much in Norway. I'm not quite proud of that. So I definitely would like to have more of it. And that's why I'm so like obsessed about talking about MS and letting people know that I do have it, because it's not something to be ashamed of. And, you know, being a nurse and working at the hospital when I got the diagnosis, telling my bosses, they didn't care, or they did care. But, you know, it wasn't a problem that I had MS, because they knew about it and they did know that you can live a normal life with it if you have like accessibility, or if they could adjust something in my workspace. But, you know, trying to step out of the hospital and now trying to work as a digital marketer, it's so different. So different, because they don't know about it. So everything that, you know, when I told my friends that I had MS, they didn't know what it was because they're not nurses. And the first question was, oh, so you're going to be stuck in a wheelchair. That's like their perception of MS. MS is a wheelchair. So that says a lot about society. We don't know enough about it. Yeah, the health workers and the health cares in, or the care in Norway, would you know about it? But every around, just not. So, you know, when I'm going to get a new job, should I tell them? Should I not tell them? Is that going to exclude me? You know, and also about the gym situation. You know, I'm done with physiotherapy this December, so I'm looking forward to that. But that means that I have to go to the gym again. You know, and previously I would need an escalator or an elevator, something like that, to help me get up and down. I don't do now, but my gym doesn't have that. They don't have accessibility for people that does need help to get to the second floor or get to the machine, or, you know, it's those small steps. So
yeah, small adjustments. I think that's what the key message is. It's like sometimes it doesn't take a lot to be inclusive and to adapt the spaces for the people to be able to use the spaces. So this is really important. And thank you very much for highlighting also the importance of the work that the MS societies and the different groups are doing, because that's also a way to connect with also encourage the people, because often when you are isolated, you don't want to. It's very difficult to. But if you have someone to talk to, someone that say, oh, what have you done today? And you, just because they might ask you, might do something, a little something to start with. And that will just start the process. So it's really important to have those groups and those support. But we also see across Europe that there is a lot that the organizations can do further. But it's also important from the patient perspective, from the people perspective, to bring that concern to those groups, to those organizations, so that they could do more, that they see there is a need. And I think that's something that, Felipe, you were saying before, listen to the patient. So people, raise your voice. It's really important for you to say what are your needs, so that every organization can mobilize themselves, invest in those resources, and create those spaces for you. So don't hesitate to speak with the organization, to contact us. We can also put you in touch with the different organizations in different countries. So it's important to keep in touch and to build that community.
If I may add a few points. So the first, just adding, building up on what you just said, Elizabeth, because the patient voice is not like in research that is also very much highlighted now. So actually, like, we have to do research that is important for patients. So otherwise, why we are doing research, right? We have to, the research, the end point of research is to improve quality of life of patients. So that's like everywhere. But I think like in terms of accessibility, not only for patients with MS, but everyone that has some sort of disability level that might impair them to go to the gym or whatever physical activity they want to do, I think we have to work on the policymaker level. Because again, I'm using a lot of my experience back when I was living in Brazil, because I know that in Brazil, it's a law that every space, it has to be accessible for patients with some sort of disability. It has to, otherwise they will have a fine, they will have to make adjustments in the space to be accessible. They have to do it. And because in Brazil, actually, like, we are exceptionally good on the Paralympic sports. And actually, there is a patient with MS that she's a gold medal Olympic. She earns like a lot. She's also world champion 5 times. And like, it's just an example that, again, MS is not an endpoint. You can do it things after that. And lastly, this year, I went to Edinburgh for my work. I stayed there for 3 months. And I had the pleasure to see a program that was firstly made for children with cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. The name is Frame Running. So actually, I think that will become a sport in the next Paralympic. And it was very reward to see, not only, and then like patients with MS are also involved. And I could see like their pleasure, because the frame running allowed them to run. Like, because sometimes just like walking, they can't. But when you put them on the frame to make the exercise, they can run, and you see they are happy, they can do more. Actually, there was a not a person with MS, but I think it's important that, like, to say that she did the half or the full marathon in Edinburgh because of the frame. So like, there are things that we can do that we can try to implement to also increase the inclusion of patients in the sports.
It's so inspiring to see that this kind of activities are already happening, and we hope that in the future more and more activities take place, like such of inclusive activities. Unfortunately, we are arriving to the end of the episode, but my last question is about MS Awareness Run. And I wanted to ask you, like, how is the preparation going, and if the MS Awareness Run has helped you in this sportive process?
You know, I can probably start answering that. You know, my biggest problem when I signed up for the MS Awareness Run were that my legs were still not working. So I was not a runner at all when I decided to join. And my legs were probably only capable of running maybe 1 kilometer at this point. So being able to join this MS Awareness Run was this big goal that I set for myself, not only to like prove that MS won't stop me, but also that I can do anything that I want. And, you know, in terms of preparation for the MS Awareness Run, the training hasn't been easy. And I've had this like mindset of approaching it step by step. Some days just about getting the shoes on, going for a short jog, sometimes intervals, sometimes I can do longer walks or longer runs. And again, it's not about progress, it's about perfection and the consistency about it. And yeah, I just love the feeling of my legs moving, being visible, showing people, you know, that even though I had MS, we can run. And hopefully next year I will do the half marathon. That will be my goal as well.
Great.
On my side, actually, I was always an athlete. So I played basketball in the past. And to be honest, I hate running because at a certain point I got bored. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing with me? But because I also had a thrombosis on my leg, I had to change my sport. So instead of doing basketball, I'm now running. At the beginning, it was not the purpose of running like longer distances. But then my friend that is also like, let's say my coach, I had the goal to run like 5 kilometers in less than 25 minutes or something like that. And at a certain point, it was like, why not doing a half marathon? And then I was like, okay, so let's just try it. And I did my first half marathon this year in São São Paulo. So that actually is the medal here.
Nice.
And then I was like, okay, what's the next half marathon I will make? And then I saw the Brussels Airport Marathon. And then I saw that the EMSP was also like with this very nice initiative of the MS awareness. And then I am doing the research part. And I think now I also have to try to advocate a bit more on the personal side in terms of increasing this awareness of MS. So I think that was my motivation to join the MS awareness run.
It's super great to hear like both of your motivations. And if I can, I also want to share that for me, it's my second MS awareness run. And last year when I joined, I'm not like both of you, like I'm not a sportive person. In the past, I was not that sportive when I was diagnosed. It's true that I was doing a lot of sports because it was the pandemic. So I was cycling a lot, but it was like exceptionally. But last year, I was not working for EMSP at that time, although I was already a member of the Young People's Network, so I was in somehow connected, and I saw that the MS awareness run was taking place. I decided to sign up for the half marathon, and I was not running. Maybe I know that it's not the best way of doing things. I know it for sure, but it helped me to be consistent, as both of you were saying. So, and since then, it was like June last year, like June 2024, and since then I'm really active, and actually next year, if everything goes well, I will do a full marathon. So it's also my space to say thanks to EMSP that encouraged me to stay active and to do sport again.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing all your thoughts and all those really positive messages to our listeners. And I think some of the key messages I'm retaining from this whole discussion is exercise is medicine. It's part of taking care of yourself. Don't neglect that. And focus on the long-term benefits. And if you don't see it immediately, don't get discouraged. Keep going and make sure that you have a nice, mindful community to support you in the process. And if it's not there, just look for them. There are peer groups, there are available organizations that might be able to provide you with the right support, the right resources to direct you to the right program. So don't hesitate to ask questions. Don't hesitate. If you don't have that at local level, come to us and we can try to find some to guide you better and find the support that you need. And also starting small is important. I know we have a great example now with our guest and with Anna that are running marathons. You don't have to run marathons. You can also just run around the block, which is great too. Do what you can and follow your pace, follow what you're going through. And before we close this super session that we had with you guys, we have a game, a rapid fire question and answer for the three of you, actually. So please answer the questions I will be asking very fast with the first thing that pops up in your mind. So it gives a little bit of your personal also connections with the sports. First questions that I have is like, are you more running or walking person?
Running.
Obviously, I had a doubt. Like this could be the answer. Are you more gym or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Oh, I'm more gym.
Both for me.
Really? Oh, okay. So we have very different answers. It's nice. I mean, outdoors is nice for the fresh air and the going out. And the gym is really good also to be focused on what you're doing. So I think both valid. Team sports or solo activities?
Team?
I would say solo, because then it's everything up to me.
I would like to say team, but then I think about the sports I've done in my life and all of them has been solo activities. So I think I have to say so solo activities.
Team in spirit, but exactly, solo in practice. I get you. Morning workout or evening workout?
Morning.
Wow. So it's both are nice too, I guess. It depends also if you're a morning person or evening workout. I hear morning helps you to wake and have a nice dynamic morning, but then in the evening, it's also nice to get out everything that happened during the day and to have a workout just before you go to sleep is also something. So one word that describes how you feel after a workout in one word.
Pleasure.
Proud, maybe.
Nice. I can say too, tired, but also
like proud and happy, but tired, first tired.
Of course, we can't really avoid the tiredness, but it's a positive tiredness. And just last words, what's your biggest motivation to stay active? And recommendations for the people that are listening today, what would you recommend?
For me, what it helps is to have goals, like sign up to a run, sign up to whatever. Like it doesn't have to be a run. Like know that that day I have to do this. So it helps me to say, okay, I need to prepare myself. I need to go running, go to the gym or whatever, because otherwise I won't be able to do it. So that's what helps for me, because as I said before, I have not been that active in sports like during all my life. So that's what I would recommend to people that are listening.
Great, thank
you. My advice would probably be like, just believe in yourself and, you know, everything adds up. Take day by day and step by step.
Beautiful.
And mine, it's on, think about the long term. Think about where you want to be in 5 years, 10 years. I say to my dad, because he just like, he do walking, but I always say like, go to the gym. Just think like in 5-10 years, you still want to tie your shoe, right? Because that, I mean, sometimes I'm a bit like extreme, but just like, just think about the long term. You know, on the long term, the exercise would be very, very benefit for you.
Yeah, that's great. That's very a nice message also to pass through. Well, thank you very much for answering all our questions and participating to this podcast. We are very grateful on behalf of EMSP for you guys to be here today and to also give those messages to our listeners.
And this wraps up this episode of Let's Talk MS. So as Elizabeth was saying, a big thank you to both of you for sharing your insights and experiences with us. Today's conversation reminded us just how important it is to stay active, from the physical and mental benefits of sports to practical tips and the ways adapted to sports can empower people living with MS, and how Aline Sofin was saying, every small win is a win. I really love this sentence. And as we come to the end of this episode, I would like to remind you that on 2nd November, we will be celebrating the MS Awareness Run in Brussels. You can find all the information in the description of the episode. And a group of runners, including Felipe, Aline Sofin, and myself, we'll take part in the run, running either 7 kilometers, 21 or 42. You can join our cause and support our fundraising efforts through the link in the description. Let's continue to stay active and keep moving together. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with anyone who might benefit from it. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel to stay updated on upcoming episodes. In our next episode, we will be diving into the important topic of employment, a topic that came up actually in this conversation before. So you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at EUMSYouth. All the links are in the description. Thank you so much for listening today, and until next time.